what we've seen last time, and hopefully you got a lot out of it, because this is important. Because if you really watch it, and I don't like to give him credit, but you got to give him credit. Satan is evil, but he's brilliant, because what he has done is he has successfully allowed or conned us into seeing the wrong strength. Even today, we lean upon the wrong strength and not understanding that's not strength. Now, just reading the Bible, this is not something that I got some hidden thing that God gave me that he's not giving the rest of you. All of us have access to it. But if we would go to God for everything, this would be as plain as day. And that's what this lesson is doing. It's giving you exactly what the word says concerning strength. But it's still crazy how we still lean upon things that we see as strength in this world instead of actually accessing true strength. Now, what we've seen, first of all, that Christians are required to be strong, okay? And then we understand, so what does that mean? First of all, us being strong is recognizing God is our strength, okay? Now, he gives us other things that look like strength by sight and by the world and people around us, but he's saying the only true strength is him, and we have to recognize that. And how we live will show if we truly believe in that. Waiting on God is an extreme strength. That's why sometimes he'll make us wait on certain things. He'll make us go through things. Why do we have to have things like perseverance? Why does he make us sometimes go through storms to see if we're truly relying on him? If things fell into place, I don't care how much of a Christian you think you are, you'd be leaning upon whatever you thought was getting you through it. And you're probably doing it now. A lot of people struggle with God because they just want things to fall into place based on them. We also seen that it's up to us to recognize our true strength, which is God, and access it. This should be a daily process. What is that strength and how do I access it? Now, the elements of true strength, we notice come in two forms, wisdom and knowledge. Okay. So, you know, like I said before, when this pandemic started, we did the whole sermon on wisdom versus fear. Why do we do that? Because we want to show everybody this is a way to be strong during this storm and any other storm. Unfortunately, you still had people that were leaning upon emotions, leaning upon what they feel, leaning upon how they've seen things. And this is why people are struggling. And people will continue to struggle because they're leaning upon the wrong strengths, which is actually weakness. And we're going to talk about that. Recognize true strength, wisdom over strength, to get behind what's truly strong. So what that means is when I actually notice through my wisdom or godly wisdom, and through godly knowledge, okay, I'll get behind what's truly strong and stop fooling myself getting behind, you know, something that I think is strong. And we're being deceived, clinging on to things that we think are strong. I mean, as we're going to see, and we may see it before this one's over, just use it as an example, some of the leaders we choose and the qualities of a leader that the world says is a leader is totally opposite from what God says is a leader, totally opposite. But you today still have people attracted to the lording over leaders. If you remember when Jesus told his disciples, he said, with the world, the way they lead is they like to lord it over. What that means is they like the ones that just make a decision and boss people around and show how strong they are, while a godly leader is a servant. As a person that recognizes I'm responsible for, take time to listen, will tell you when they're wrong, which we call weak in this world. But we still don't recognize that. We still get attracted to the foolish worldly lead instead of the humble godly lead. You see that? And it's crazy how that works. So we must realize we are all weak until the transformation. So I know I'm weak, and there's no human being on this earth that is strong. So if I ever get influenced or caught up by somebody because they seem brilliant, they seem like they're in the wrong way, unless they're godly, I'm being drawn into weakness, and I got to recognize that. So those that are strong by world standards, watch this, will fall. Please understand that. Please know that. Okay. So if there's something or a person, and this is how cults and things like that sometimes change. They'll come in and they'll almost act like God picked me as the chosen one. And then they'll go away from the Bible and they'll give you a whole bunch of stuff and you'll start following them as a person. And they'll seem, that's the key word, seem. While our only thing, like I said in the beginning, knowing that God is the true strength, is the only strength. If they're not giving me God, then I don't want anything they're giving me. And that's the mindset we have to look at. Our spirit is strong and our flesh is weak is why we must be spiritual. Because the flesh is always going to go after the fleshly strength, which is in turn is going to make us weak. And that's where we last left off. So let's understand what keeps us weak. This is the key. I'm hoping as we go over this section that you'll leave with this understanding of, wait a minute, I've been weak all this time and it's my fault. So let's understand where that comes from. First of all, the weakest are those that are strong in the world. I'm going to say that caption again. The weakest are those that are strong in the world. A lot of people we see statues of, a lot of people we look up to, a lot of people that have a lot going on for them. We may even call them blessed. We may call them powerful. Now, the Old Testament may have even shown them, but if you even look deeper, it's going to be a whole nother group that are truly strong. It may blow your mind. When we get to the reward part in heaven, the people that God reward, you're going to go, and who's that? And who's that? And you'll be doing that the whole time. And who's that? Why? Because you're not, they're going to be the ones that are not heard of, because the world gives credit to people who are leaning upon their fleshly strength, which is no strength at all. Watch what this says in 1 Corinthians 1:26-31. It says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Watch this. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Okay, so now he's showing this first. These are things right now, wise by human standards. That's just somebody who's just brilliant. Things he says and things that come together. Not many were influential. They just had ways of getting into things and dealing with things. I mean, they always knew the right people. And not many were of noble birth. That always comes from, you're just born in the right place under the right family. He was like, you notice the ones that are guiding the church, the ones that are leading the church, it's not these guys. He's like, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Literally, he's saying you'd rather be something that the world would go, you know, what am I going to do with him? You understand that? No, he's not one of the greatest. No, he's not one of the best at this. He's looking at somebody that is weak in mind. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So in other words, those who are truly doing this are those that have become this. Now, let me be very clear. Let's say you do have a extraordinary wisdom or extraordinary strength or talent. You can still be this when you're not leaning upon this, if that makes sense. All right. Those people who chase after and start leaning upon their talent as if it's their life thing. You get that? Are the people that have made themselves weak by thinking they're strong. You have some people that'll go to school over and over again. And please, in no way am I canceling out doing these things in the world. I'm just saying when you look at them as your life savers, some say, if I don't have this many degrees, if I don't have this kind of money, or if I didn't have this talent, or if I didn't have this house, or if I didn't have this car, you know, I mean, we think of things of the world and we may say, praise God, but we're truly leaning on this weak thing. We're missing what he's saying here. God chose the things that really have nothing to lean on to be strong. And he now can display through him. We're going to explain why that is. It says in verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. Did y'all get that? It says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This made more sense to me. I remember I was in Pittsburgh before I left to come to Harrisburg, and there was a church that was really growing. And it was actually, I mean, it was, the mega churches really didn't exist yet. I mean, there were big churches, but these, and this one was growing in Pittsburgh, and people really loved this one minister. It was a young man. He was charismatic. Problem is, after a while, he could do no wrong. They just started following everything he said. So even if he put the Bible down and start giving some sermon on what everybody should change in their lives, everybody would change it in their lives without checking that Bible. Because he seemed so powerful and he had everything together and he was so smart and all this other stuff. And you could put all this together. So people were more so boasting in pastor so and such, not in Christ. I always said, I've done my job. If you left the room and you don't remember my name, but you remember Christ. But if you left the room remembering me, I just puffed up me and set you up for failure. Amen. And please understand what true failure is. In the short run, it may seem like you succeeded. While all in all, no, you're going to fail if you go Keith's path, but it better be Keith presenting Christ's path. I just want to be, and I need to just be an instrument, and so do you. True strength is just being used by God, not getting in the way. So you can have these strengths, but when you don't depend on him, you're allowing him. Okay, that's what this is really showing. So he's saying it's the people that didn't stand out that the world's not chasing after, right? They're not the first round pick, you know, in a sport. They are the person that you never heard of. And next thing you know, they're the main person. You're like, why are they the main one? Because they allow themselves to 100% be used by God. It's very important for us to understand that. Now, where you are based on the world's measure of strength is meaningless. But that's going to be a distraction. Okay? In Ecclesiastes 9:11, he says, I have seen something else under the sun. Now remember, I said Ecclesiastes was that book of life, which broke down life for us. And he's saying, this is something else that was displayed to me through the wisdom God gave me. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happens to them all. What he's saying is, some of the most talented people, worldly wise, some of the wisest people, worldly wise, some of the, you know, brilliant people, however you want to put it, you'll never see them. It doesn't always fall into the place that you have the greatest in that spot. You just had the right person that was at the right place to be in that spot. Okay. And some people say that sounds like luck. Well, it's not luck. It is called time and chance, because it has nothing to do with what you are. Does that make sense? That's why you have some people that have this talent and they'll never get a chance to show it in the world, because it's meaningless in the world, is what God's trying to show you. There are some people that are very fast that never got to run the race. People are very strong who never got to box or do any of these other things. You know what I mean? They said, I missed my chance. No, you didn't. It was meaningless. But it's a distraction. If I don't realize my main purpose is here is to live for Christ, I won't know that's meaningless. And then I'll get depressed. I'll get frustrated and go, man, I should have been the one on the star on the screen or out on that field playing and making that kind of money. Not realizing, he was like, no, a lot of these events went to people that were at the right place at the right time, but the purpose of it was for us to realize it's meaningless. You understand that? But if you get caught up in it, you'll live for it. In fact, if we were as successful as some of the people that the world deems this way, most of them are distracted away from God because it becomes about them. They may have this moment of, but they're going to have an eternity of. I think you know the story. If anybody knows the story of Katy Perry, I mean, she grew up in a religious family and she was looking for a religious contract to do religious music as a Christian. And they were deep, and they were very strict Christians until somebody offered her a secular one. And now she believes in everything, does everything and sings everything and nothing, you know, and the parents are right behind her. Why? Because money speaks and our family's going to be raised that way. And it just goes away. So that's dangerous. And that's scary when you think about it. So understand the strength that we see people have here, and it looks like they advance here, is meaningless. Don't get distracted by that. All right. Look at this. The world's strength leaves us vulnerable. Luke 11:21-23 says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. So now right now we all, and this is not just talking about me sitting outside and saying nobody will break into my house. This is talking about my entire life. That's the ones who build up a nice bank account. This is the ones who took the right medicines and exercised every day. This is the ones who work really hard to make sure that, you know, they're going to retire at the right time. So on and so forth. All of these safe things we do, we say, I'm fully armed and I did everything I could. But watch what he says. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. See, what he's letting us understand is there's nothing more powerful than Christ. Christ is God. So he is by far the most powerful. But if I allow myself to put my trust in anything else, I'm just setting myself up, because Satan's stronger than all of that. That's why he's called the prince of this world. And he's just waiting for the time to take it away, to allow me to go through whatever I'm going to go through. See, what has made and Job so strong is, if you notice, all that stuff was taken away and Job was cool. Job's only thing was God or mean you good, right? Because God is his strength. Even though his kids were good, he would give sacrifices for his kids anyway, just in case they sinned. That's him looking to God as God is the protection. God is my strength. You understand that? His protection and everything was in God. A lot of us, it could be our money, it could be our health, it could be our relationship, it could be one, something else. Now, we'll say, praise God, but if one of those things crash, and I'm letting you know, if that's your strength, it's going to crash. You understand that? And it'll crash you. But look, that's why he says here in verse 23, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. So I always said, you know, as powerful and as meaningful as my wife is in my life, she better be that way through Christ. If it's just her, if something were to happen and God were to take her away, you understand that? And then I crush because of it. He's not going to go, oh, I understand, poor Keith. But what I have to understand is she should never have been my strength. What I have to understand is she had to be my strength through him, which lets me understand one day we're going to die. One day things are going to happen. It's going to hurt, but I still have God who is my strength. Hopefully everybody's grasping that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Going back to what you was talking about, Job sacrificing, yep. You know, in case the children sin. I always yep. wondered about that. Could that be seen as fear?
No. You had, once again, that prosperity group used to say, the reason why all that stuff happened to Job is because he feared. No, Job was a member.
I'm talking about the part about his children.
No, absolutely not. No. That was, because remember, sacrifices were given to God due to us being bad. You mm-hmm. understand that? And so the fear or the concern for the flesh, you should have. Like I am, I don't care how much of a Christian somebody says they are, I'm still going to pray for them. And that's not called fear. That's called wisdom. Because why? Because you're still human. And as he said for his kids, it's them going, I got good. How many of us, you know, have done that? I got good kids. You don't know that. And God said they are all bad. You know what I mean? God says we're all bad. So Job was reacting based on God, not based on what everybody else was saying or what he was seeing. So that was called wisdom. That was called faith. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but he didn't have, but just to throw that out, because I know some people will use that thing. The reason why the book of Job happened is because he had fear. He said, because the thing that happened to me is the thing I feared. People say, yeah, that's what happened to Job. Please don't follow that. That's nonsense. It's not what the Bible says, because God would not have called him the righteous one at the time. And the reason why what happened to him was showing his strength in God. It's a brilliant way of us understanding. So these other things God gives us are to be used through him. Never to be the thing we call our strength itself. If that's what you're leaning upon, you are not with him, you are against him. Think about that. If there's something here other than God that you're living for, it puts your Christianity into question. You should be able to lose everything. I'm not saying it's not going to hurt. I'm not saying you're not going to mourn. I'm not saying you're going to, you know, it's going to cause it, but you won't leave God. You'll still grow in him. In fact, you'll even get closer and closer to him. And the same thing if the reverse happened, if you got more of that something, you understand that? So we have to make sure we're not depending on anything down here as our strength. It's the fact of I put away for my retirement knowing that tomorrow it can go away. I work out and take stuff for my health knowing it can decline. You know what I mean? In my relationships, people can leave or people can die. Jobs, knowing I can lose them or lose that talent, so on and so forth. Okay, so don't let that thing be the thing you trusted. Make sure it's always God with the mindset of God, I'm going to depend on you, so I'll do these things with the understanding of if they're gone, I still have you who is my strength. All right, so that means we must consciously not depend on the flesh. Consciously not depend on the flesh. It says, for it is we who are the circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and watch this, who put no confidence in the flesh. Now, what's disturbing is I still hear Christians say, yep, I trust in God. Then they'll turn around and say, yeah, but what I seen was. There are times you're going to do something in the Lord, And you're going to see somebody else do something that wasn't in the Lord, and theirs is going to seem to work out. Now, every Christian who's really walking spiritually would hear me and go, yeah, yeah, that's true, because the way that seems right to a man, but in the end, he's dead. You would know that. But a person who is not spiritual, when they seen that, they would struggle. Does that make sense? They would go, God, I did what you asked me, so why is it working out for them? And not, praise God, I don't understand it, but your will be done. You understand that? A lot of times we do stuff for God to see results. So are we walking by faith? That's the question. When it says, I put no confidence in the flesh, there is no alternative in that. You understand that? There is no alternative. Hold on 1 second. All right, sorry about that. Okay, but do you understand that? Okay, so there is no where it'll ever turn around to my strength. Any strength or anything that I have to recognize I'm doing those things through him, and he could take them away. But there will never be confidence in that. So my smarts or whatever that may be, whatever I think I may have an advantage of, I don't ever want to use that or look to that as anything that I'm leaning upon, if that makes sense, okay? So I want to make sure no confidence in the flesh. God may give me a talent that's above all in certain cases, but it was never meant to be used as a talent above all. I know we see some basketball players and some football players and these people that are just above, and it's great. Why did God give it to them? Well, we may never know why God gave it to them, because they used it as their strength. You understand that? They used it as their strength instead of using it through God. Something to think about. Now, don't be deceived when it looks like worldly strong seem to win, as I was just saying, because it's not because of their strength. Look what he says in Psalms 33, 16 to 22. It says, no king is saved by the size of his army. No king. Okay. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. Watch what he's saying. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Now, what this is saying is you may see these things and you may say it's because they had this is why they blah, blah, blah. Now, we got to see it back in the Old Testament. The Israelites, in fact, there was one time they went to a war and he made them lower their army to down. I think it ended up being 300 people to fight this massive army, and they won. But he did it to show has nothing to do with your army, has everything to do with me. When I want you to lose, you're going to lose. When I want you to win, you're going to win. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. And that's what he's saying when he says no king is saved by the size of his army. They're saved because God allowed them. No warrior escapes by his great strength. You understand that? His great strength was only allowed because you've seen some massive people lose some things to some people that weren't as strong. A horse, which would be the instruments you use and that you depend on. I know some of us said, if I just had this and I got this Ring doorbell and I go buy a gun and I'm not saying not to have those things, but a lot of us get those and then we feel, but God can allow, if you're not trusting in him, somebody to walk right past all of those things. My hope must be in him. It says, we trust in his holy name. Am I devoting my time into protecting myself in this temporary world, or am I devoting my time in protecting myself eternally? Y'all get this? All right. And it'll show in what I'm investing. Now, please don't get mixed up. Doesn't mean just because you study. It means I'm looking to study and apply. The applying part is by far the most important part of the studying. Okay. Can't stress that enough, because if you don't apply it, you don't trust him. I can be the best architect and scientist and look at how a bridge works and stuff like this and say, I'm never going across a bridge. That means I may understand the science, but I don't trust it. Why? Because I'm never going across it. But when I'm reading it to apply it, that's trust. When I read it and I give all these other excuses, well, I'm trying or I know, and I don't trust in him. There's something else I'm allowing to have a strength in my life over me. See the danger. Okay. So you have to make, don't get caught up in that sometimes when we see some things that are better. I think there was I've seen it in sports many times. And if you look throughout history, even upon wars, there were certain fights and certain things that should not have happened. In fact, if you look throughout history, there was a couple of times Israel, when they were just as small, and if you look at them on the map, they're surrounded by people that hate them. And some of the wars that happened to them, just in history, there is no way they should have won. Absolutely none. But then you go back in the Old Testament, and there are some certain times where they were it. I mean, they were the group to beat if you're going to beat them, and they were just taken captive like they were nothing, like they weren't even there. Because it's up to God. He has to be our strength. Now, a stubborn man, if not changed, will be weak to death. What do I mean by that? Or what does the Bible mean? Proverbs 29:1 says, a man who remains stiff-necked. Now, what does that mean? Stiff-necked is stubborn. There are some that will hear the word, you fully know what it says, and you're still doing your own thing. That's a stiff-necked person. And he says, after many rebukes, will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. So there are some, I hate to say it, who just choose to be weak. A stiff-necked is a common practice. They're just stubborn. And no, because we've given stubborn a character. That's just the way someone such is. But you're going to be that way you are to hell. Sometimes we give people a pass, not realizing we're giving them a pass to hell. That's what he means. Suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Because with many rebukes, if you're that stubborn that you allow your stubbornness to make you go to hell, what can you say? And nobody has no control. I mean, nobody is that stubborn that they can't control it. Please understand that. That's why the word says, if you're a Christian, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're choosing to be stiff. A stiff-necked person is choosing not to budge. They're choosing not to do the right thing. That's why it says, when people say that thing, I can't see a God, a loving God sending people to hell. God is sending nobody to hell. People are choosing to go. Because our loving God, who opened up to us, saw us mess up to head to an eternity of hell and gave us not only a path to get out of that thing that we deserve, he empowered us so we can do it. Now it just comes down to choice, and you have those people who are so stubborn, you understand that they stay weak. They purposely choose weakness. Something to think about. Something that should blow your mind. Now, using our circumstances as a basis for our strength is a huge mistake. Now I want to show you this, because this is something you have to really look at. If you read this wrong in Proverbs, some people read it as that makes sense. No, he's giving us something that you really have to look at, and I'll explain it. He says in Proverbs 10:15, this is, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. Now, if somebody just read that straight, they'll go, yep, that's why I want to be rich. If you notice I have there, understand this is not a good thing for the rich or the poor. What he's saying is, when I'm not spiritually focused, and I have more, that becomes my strength when I don't even realize it. That's why it says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. Now, remember, we started this off saying, what is our strength? God. But you'll have rich people that'll say, yeah, God is my strength. But if you watch their lives, their strength, the thing they devote their time to, the thing they lean upon is their money. It becomes their strength, which makes them weak. Even though they think, you know, they may go to church, they may do stuff, you know, that look like a Christian, but their strength is actually their money, which is really not. And then in reverse, it says, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. When a person does not have, they tend to see it as, well, God, what did I do wrong? And they feel as if God is not there. In fact, they think they don't have access to strength. Unlike the poor woman who gave her last two coins, who did recognize who her strength was. Most people in poverty, most people who are poor, because they're poor, think they're not strong at all. Y'all get this? And it's a shame. That's where you get this falseness, where he already told us, I am your strength. Don't look at it and go, well, he's strength because we have so much money, or because we have, I heard a minister even say it about the United States when they were like, look at all the resources we have. We must be blessed from God. And I always have to go back and say, you do understand. So was Egypt. So was Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. So was Rome. So was the Assyrians. All these groups were powerful and rich, but they were not godly. You understand that? Egypt, as bad as it was, became blessed when Joseph and the Israelites could come in there and stuff of that sort. But for the most part, they were called sin. So you keep using your sight to look at somebody who has more and call that strong, and look at somebody who has less and call that weak. You're blind and you're missing it. So understanding other things that will keep us weak, this that point of view is also false teaching weaken Christians who are not alert. And that's what's leading into that. When I was saying that person gave that false information, you know, when you say America must be blessed because look at what we have. See, Hebrews 13, 9 through 10 says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. In other words, if the minister said that, he then has to back it up using the Bible. And that's what happened when I heard him say that. I went to the Bible and I seen just the opposite. I was saying, I'm seeing more evil countries who were more powerful than I am seeing what we call more blessed countries. Other than Israel, at a certain point, anybody and anything, that wasn't the sign that you had God. In fact, humbleness displayed that you had God. He says, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to them who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. So he's stressing to us that, you know, these false teachers were giving stuff like, you still got to do these other things that the pagans are doing in order to be strong in God or to be doubly strong. You still have Christians that have these side hustles, if you will, in their spirituality. They'll be a Christian and they'll have these crystals. You ever see Christians who still carry around those crystals and think they're giving them good luck, or they still read their horoscopes, or they still have good luck charms, or they still follow weird patterns? You know what I mean? I go down the list of stuff that the Christians may tend to do because they were carried away by strange teachings. They're called strange teachings because God was like, I didn't tell you that. Do you understand that? I notice every time I do this, things work out for me. So I make sure I wake up on this side of the bed. Or you ever hear that whole feng shui thing where people have to put their furniture in certain parts of their house for the energy to hit them? I hope you're talking about the sun coming in the house, because other than that, that's demonic. It has absolutely nothing to do with God. And you're now using the strange teaching for weakening your heart. Your purpose becomes distorted. That's why he says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Remember, I told you, it's not a learning disability. It's you choosing not to learn. So when we choose not to learn real teaching, not strange teachings, from what his word is telling us, and I apply it, I'm being rejected. It says, I also reject you as my priests because you have ignored the law of your God. I will also ignore your children. So it's something that just goes, it just, you know, rolls down a hill like a snowball. It just snowballs on us because we are not allowing ourselves to take what he says and just apply it. In fact, especially when we take what he says, apply it even when it looks like it does nothing. I told you there was a lady who used to come on the news who used to give people financial statement. I remember there was a string of times where she came on and kept telling people, stop giving money to churches because there is no return on investment. And by sight view, she was absolutely right. She was 100% right. By sight view. Spiritually, we all know she was warped. But how many people show that? God gives a lot of things we are to do to show who our strength is. And your actions will display it. We'll close on this one. God gives true strength to those that fear him, not to them that are strong based on the world. He makes that clear in Psalms 147, 10 through 11. It says his pleasure is not in the strength of horses. Remember the people? And usually when it talks about horses, it's like the stuff I have. It could be guns, it could be tanks, it could be, you know, fortresses and stuff like that. He said, nor his delights in the legs of man. So somebody who happens to be a strong man or known, a well-learned man and all that, it says, Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. So you see me investing more and more in him and his ways, trusting in him, spending my money the way he says, raising my family the way he tells me, have my relationships the way he guides me. All of it has to be fully based on him, even though I'm looking around sight and I see people doing it other ways and it seems like it works. I'm not going to be fooled. And my reverence or my fear is going to keep me focused on him in order for me to truly stay strong. So we'll close here. We'll see if you have any questions. And then God willing, next week, we get a chance to see how do we access this true strength. Now that we know what it is, we understand what's making us weak, we'll get a chance to access this true strength. Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
How do we fear God? Like just fear not following him? Are we to fear that he will punish us? He doesn't punish.
Excellent question. Excellent. In fact, I'm thinking, I just want to make sure. Well, I think it's going to be in a sermon we're doing right now, because we did a full sermon on fearing God, on fearing God. And I can actually put that out there, but the Bible teaches us how to fear God. In fact, I think the last word of my steps is on it. If you didn't get a chance, you listen to the last word of my steps. It really breaks down fearing God.
Okay. Because
fearing God is a state of mind. It is something that you must be in, and it's not going to be a feeling. I think a lot of people want it to be, you know, like if you got bit by a dog and now you're scared because you got bit by a dog because you kept remembering how it was terrifying it was when you got bit by him. Now, that's a fleshly response. Fearing God is something you choose to do. That's why people miss. I think some people think they want it to be a feeling that you have. And no, even though you may not have it, fearing God is mean his word said it. I'm doing this because God said it. That's fearing God. That means it's a reverence. It's a fear of, I don't want to find out what's going to happen when I don't. You understand that? So get a chance, go through that order of my steps. It was the last order of my steps. It was irreverence, avoiding irreverence. And that'll kind of break it down. And I'll be more than glad to now go deeper into it after you read that one. It gives you all the scriptures on it and it really helps out on it.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Any other questions?
Yes. Can you go over again the difference between luck and time and chance, please?
Absolutely. So luck is based on, that is a, what we may call the term is based on a demonic or a pagan type of stance. And what I mean by that is theirs came from a magical thing that could happen to you. That's why people would have things for good luck and there was bad luck. Okay. What time and chance is God is saying your circumstances are not what makes your life. It's almost like him saying, I'm going to put you in there and wherever you land, do what I tell you to do, period. It's not about your situation or circumstances. You understand that? So anything can happen to you. I'm preparing for you for anything to happen to you. So if good happened to you, you're prepared. If bad happened, or, and I don't like call it good or bad, if desirable happened to you or undesirable happened to you, you're prepared for both. But if I go for situations, then I'm messing myself up because time and chance is going to mess me up. You know what I mean? I think things are good when it's sunny outside, but when it rains, why do it have to rain? While a person who's a Christian is prepared for it to be sunny and prepared for it to rain. That's time and chance. It could rain or it could be sunny. Doesn't matter. I have the Lord. And in the Lord, I'm going to function. That's why in the New Testament, the key to time and chance is contentment. That's why he says, I can be well fed or I can be hungry. Remember that? And he's basically saying, so the situation, my circumstances don't define me. That's why you hear me say, we're not, as Christians, circumstantial people. to quit trying to adjust or get into a better circumstance, be ready for any circumstance. So time and chance is God saying, I may put you anywhere to deal with anything, and it could happen at any time, but when you're in me, it just won't matter. And that's why 2020 should not be a big shock to any Christian, because time and chance.
Makes sense? Yep, yeah, it does. Thanks.
Other questions? All right. Praise God. We thank God that we had to go through this. Please make sure y'all